This is All Things Considered on 90.1 WABE. I'm Dennis O'Hare. For the second time in 2 years, it appears that the opening concert by the Atlanta Symphony Orchestra is in jeopardy because of a labor dispute between the orchestra and its musicians. Paul Murphy is the president of the Atlanta Symphony Orchestra Players Association. He is the associate principal violist at the ASO. Mr. Murphy, welcome. Good to have you.
Thank you. It's great to be here, Dennis.
As we speak, the orchestra has locked out the musicians, saying they are unable to reach an agreement. And this is all because, according to the orchestra, we are looking again at an ongoing debt, about $2.5 million, which the orchestra simply can't carry anymore after years and years of being in a deficit situation. Is this a blood out of a stone type of thing where the musicians want more money? They may deserve more money, but if there isn't, well, then what can the musicians do?
Well, Dennis, 2 years ago, the management of the Atlanta Symphony Orchestra and the Woodruff Arts Center, the parent organization, locked out the ASO musicians for a month, cutting off our salary and all of our health care benefits. After that month, we signed a severely concessionary contract that cut our pay at that time by 15%, cut our season by 10 weeks. We now are furloughed during the entire summer season that we used to play outdoor concerts all summer for the citizens of Atlanta, and also reduced the size of the orchestra. The term we'll use is complement of the orchestra, from a 95 full-time musicians guarantee to 88 musicians. Just 2 years later, they propose further cuts that will take this orchestra from a world-class major American orchestra to certainly one of regional status and not befitting the culture and city size of Atlanta. The proposals in their new, at the current negotiations, include reducing our take-home pay by between 6 and 7%. Granted, there are very small, I would term minuscule, salary increases in their proposal, but they are completely offset by very large proposals of increases in health care contributions. Beyond just the financial differences, which remain, I mentioned that 2 years ago we went from 95 musicians to 88, and that is our fixed complement in our agreement with the management. But now they propose to remove any fixed number at all from our CBA. And let me mention that every major American orchestra contains in their agreement a fixed complement, a fixed size for their orchestra. It is absolutely what defines a major orchestra, is the size of that group. By not having a fixed number in a group means they can go by attrition to as few as 40 or as maybe 65. I mean, there's nothing fixed about it, no guaranteed number.
Here's the question, though, I guess. After years and years of deficits and a long-term debt, which the Woodruff Arts Center has helped out with over the last few years, and the orchestra is still in the red, what choice does the management have?
Well, we think that there is money there. There's been sizable income coming into the organization this year. We had a couple of anonymous donations to the Atlanta Symphony that totaled over $3 million. We've also sold the property on 14th Street that was originally intended to be the site for a new symphony center. When we changed those plans some years back, we held on to the property to try and see some recovery in the real estate market in Atlanta. That has come about, and that land was sold recently for over $20 million. We did have to pay back some bonds with a good chunk of that money, but there was a substantial multi-million dollar amount remaining from that. And then it was the WAC board that decided what to use that money for. We question at times all of their decisions about where to put the extra money that has come in from their, either the land sales or these generous donations, anonymous donations.
Do you know where that money went?
We have been told where they plan to put that money, and it's never in operating expenses, which would help us on a year-to-year basis, but always pointed towards reducing debt. We have reduced our debt substantially this year. We paid back the Art Center for a loan that we held with that they held on us for the Verizon Wireless Amphitheater that was built a few years ago. And so we no longer owe that debt to the WAC.
One of the points that the management has made is that because of the economy, a lot of customers who might have bought season subscriptions are buying single event tickets, single concert tickets, and so the overall ticket sales revenue is down. Isn't that one of the bread and butter sources of income for an orchestra?
Well, of course it is, but that's not peculiar just to Atlanta. It's a trend nationwide that subscription sales are diminishing more, and we're having to all arts organizations are having to rely more on single ticket sales. There are innovative ways to package and market those single and entice those single ticket buyers. And I would point out that there are orchestras all over the country in the last year since the recovery, since the economic recovery, have posted record ticket sale increases, fundraising increases. Orchestras all over have also been settling their contracts in many cases early, and with orchestras, the orchestra musicians achieving small but steady salary increases during the life of their contract. That's not the case here. I would also point out that the musicians of the Atlanta Symphony, after 8 months of negotiations with our management, even though we could not come to terms at the end of the agreement on Saturday, we did propose to what we call colloquially play and talk, which is where we extend the agreement while we still try and hammer out an honorable contract that we can sign. And it's under the terms of the old agreement. We offered that on Saturday before the expiration of the agreement, and it was summarily ignored. Other orchestras in just the last few weeks have employed that successfully and averted work stoppages. The Metropolitan Opera, which has been big news some weeks ago, was under a play-and-talk situation, was able to settle their agreement before there was any kind of work stoppage. The same exact situation in the San Francisco Opera just last week, and currently the Nashville Symphony is playing and talking, their agreement having expired just last week.
But in the case of the Met, at least, a mediator was brought in for those talks. Do you have a problem with bringing in a mediator here?
Well, we have spoken with a representative of the local federal mediator's office on a couple of occasions this summer, as a matter of fact. And in our case, particularly in Atlanta right now, we're not sure if there really is a benefit to bringing in yet another layer of someone who has no decision-making power. It's a peculiar situation that we have in Atlanta with the Atlanta Symphony Orchestra being a division of the Woodruff Arts Center, meaning that the Atlanta Symphony has our own management and our own board of directors, and then there's also a management and a board of directors for the Woodruff Arts Center. So there's that double layer, and we just don't feel at this time, we wonder if there would be any help that a mediator could provide when he doesn't have any decision-making power in that multi-layered process.
Bottom line, and you mentioned that the orchestra's existence as a world-class ensemble is jeopardized by this work impasse. Are we at a point that Atlanta may have to look at not being the kind of world-class orchestra that it has been just because of fiscal reality?
Well, that would be a tragedy for the city of Atlanta. Atlanta is the 10th largest metropolitan economy in the United States. And we are fifth in philanthropic giving. among cities in the United States. So for me to be hear that Atlanta cannot support an orchestra of the caliber of the Atlanta Symphony would be tragic. This is an orchestra that has garnered 27 Grammy Awards in the last few decades, second only to the Chicago Symphony. We have had difficulty in recent years since our last concessionary contract in retaining and attracting the quality of players that we need for this orchestra. Atlanta and the state of Georgia and the whole country deserves to maintain an orchestra like the Atlanta Symphony. And once it's gone for good.
Paul Murphy is the associate principal violist of the Atlanta Symphony Orchestra. He's also president of the Atlanta Symphony Orchestra Players Association. Mr. Murphy, thanks very much for being with us, and we will check back with you.
Thanks very much, Dennis. I appreciate your interest.
Now joining us is the president and CEO of the Woodruff Arts Center, which is the parent organization of the Atlanta Symphony Orchestra. She is Virginia Heppner. Ms. Heppner, welcome back. Good to have you.
Thank you, Dennis.
The orchestra musicians made some pretty serious concessions, both in terms of wages and in terms of size of the orchestra, just 2 years ago. And it was the feeling at the time, I think, everybody said, and the musicians even believe that orchestra officials said, we won't do this again. Now it appears we're doing this again. Has the Woodruff and the orchestra gone back on its word to the musicians?
Dennis, well, one, thank you for calling about this. It's a very important topic. I would say certainly not. I would disagree with that. I would also say that not only am I personally grateful, I also would say that all of us recognize that they did. They accepted a pay cut and a few other changes, and we're not asking them to take a pay cut in this round. What we pledged was to do our very best to raise more contributed income, which we were actually quite successful in doing. It's simply not enough, and that's why we're here today.
One quick point on that, though. Certainly, when I spoke with Mr. Murphy, the head of the Players mm-hmm. Association, he said, look, there is a wage increase here, but when you factor in the increase in co-pays for insurance that the orchestra is expecting them to bear, it amounts to, on the average, about a 7% net reduction in pay. Isn't that really what would matter to you or anybody else, what your take-home pay is?
You know, I think on that matter, number one, it is two different issues. There are actually several issues in that we're asking for the musicians to address with us. One is health care. Like all of us, it is, frankly, an unknown for the future. It's also a very important part of our current cost structure. The musicians agreed to, for the first time, my understanding was ever, pay any of their health care costs in the last contract. I believe it's something like $10 a week, and that includes for individuals and families. What we're asking for, and that is the cost of that actual coverage to the Arts Center and to the orchestra is multiples of that, as you can imagine. And what we're asking for is, one, recognition of that reality that we all face, and for them certainly to pay no more than anyone else at the Arts Center, but essentially to pay their fair share and to help us manage that expense, because the current plan, and I don't want to get in the weeds, the current plan really doesn't incent them to help manage that cost. So that's the reality.
One of the other concerns, though, is that this time in the management offer, there's nothing that says there will be a minimum of this many musicians in an orchestra. Mm-hmm. And the argument is, of course, that a world-class orchestra has to have a certain number of musicians, mm-hmm. and there's no assurance here that that will continue if they accept management's offer.
I think the term for that is, what's the complement number
yeah.
in an orchestra? And again, remember, I'm not an expert musician. That's why I admire them so much, frankly, for what their skill set is. That we have asked for flexibility in the complement of the contract, and it is the heart of the challenge. What I've learned and what I would say about the American orchestra model is that it takes a tremendous number of talented players whom we have at our orchestra to produce great music. It's also the core reason why the cost structure is so significant. And so what we're asking for is not, and I can understand the question, it's not a dire minimum number of players. It's actually the flexibility to replace players and positions when we can, that balances both the financial and artistic goals. And that is a fundamental change.
So are you saying, though, that it would depend on what's on the program, the pieces that you're mm-hmm. playing? You'd just bring mm-hmm. in folks for a one-off if you're playing Beethoven's Ninth, for instance?
I would say, one, it's the musical director's first decision with the management team to decide what is the artistry that they want to present for the season. And to, as I understand it, as it happens today, you know, we may have a complement of, I think it was 88 players in the last agreement, but very rarely did we actually have all 88, or were they the same people? It depends what the artistry was at the time, and also people were on sabbaticals, people were retiring, there were vacancies. And so the management is really asking for flexibility in how to fill those vacancies when they exist.
But how can you attract talented players mm-hmm. if you do that?
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, that's not my area of expertise, but frankly, if you look at the incredible, we haven't had any challenge in when we've needed to hire new people or substitutes, which they do all the time. We haven't had any challenge, to my understanding, of filling those. And again, we're not contemplating, you know, a drastically different sized orchestra. Frankly, I think it would be surprising if people noticed a lot of difference. And again, I'm not here to denigrate, you know, a strategy around what creates the greatest orchestra. What I'm really focused on in making sure that we have an orchestra years from now that we're proud of and that we can pay for. As you remember, I'm sure you know, because this is factual, we've been running deficits for over a decade. And it is completely unsustainable to do that. And so we have to have flexibility, not just in financial matters, but also in the way contracts and services are used. And I believe the musicians would like many of these, because they've told me, and that they'd like to be out in the community more. They would like to have more flexibility around outreach, more engagement in education. And frankly, we need a lot of those changes too, which I think they would, my understanding, be excited about. And it's also the way to engage more ticket buyers, more patrons, because that's what it takes. Last year, the orchestra produced about $4 million of ticket sales and classic orchestra presentations. And again, this isn't about their quality. They're fantastic. However, it costs five times that to put that on the stage.
A bottom line question, and I asked Mr. Murphy about this as well when I spoke with him. Is Atlanta, given the fiscal realities that you just talked about, is Atlanta having to look at the reality that we may not be able to have the kind of world-class orchestra that we are used to having?
I believe, and you know, I think since I love the arts and I'm committed to the arts and all the people here are, I'm an optimist about this. I believe what Atlantans are asking for is to make sure that we have art that's relevant in their life. And it's up to anyone to decide what's world class and what an orchestra should be. But what we're dedicated to is making sure that we are relevant and part of the community and very successful in making sure, frankly, these fabulous musicians have a career in the future. You know, what other cities and what other communities define as great, that's what's reflected in their community. We're really excited about what the future could be here, both for the orchestra, but also the Woodruff Arts Center, and frankly, the Atlanta community, because we have a lot to offer.
But could the symphony survive a delayed opening or even the loss of part of the season? I mean, as we speak right now, there's mm-hmm. just over 2 weeks to go before the opening.
Mm-hmm.
Number one, do you have a cutoff point beyond which you're going to delay the opening? And number two, could you survive that?
Yeah. Dennis, I would say, and I mean this seriously, that I think if we don't change our model, there's no certainty it will survive long run, period. So whether that's the opening of the symphony is delayed, you know, of the season is delayed, that to me is a real short-term issue. It's more about how can we make sure we're the strongest organization for the future. And so I think we absolutely have a great idea and a great plan, and it can be fantastic. But it will take change. It will take changing our the way we do something.
If you do change the model, though, will you be able to compete for talent with towns that may mm-hmm. find symphonies more relevant, like New York, like Cleveland, like Los Angeles, for instance?
You know, I believe so. I hope so. But frankly, you know, I don't see any donors coming to us from all those communities or public funding for those communities to support the model that we have. And I think people will love working here and living here and being part of this community. But that's certainly the risk we're taking. But frankly, the risk we're taking now is defined. We can't keep losing millions of dollars a year because that puts everyone at risk, both the musicians, the staff, the rest of the art center. And that's the untenable situation.
How optimistic are you you'll be able to work this out when the two sides appear to be so far apart?
You know, Dennis, I'm actually very optimistic. But I will tell you, the fundamental issues won't change, and I wouldn't feel that I was respecting them or being a good steward if we didn't stick to understanding and making and working hard with them to help figure out what we need to change.
Mr. Murphy said, though, that the management really hasn't been working with them, especially in the last few days prior to the lockout, that management refused to meet with them, that there really was nothing much in the way of face-to-face talks.
You know, Dennis, what I can tell you honestly, you know, and I'm sure in the heat of expiration of dates, et cetera, that I'm sure there's some stress around that. No one actually has asked me. I've been asked once to a meeting a while ago, which was the only day that I couldn't do it because I was taking my daughter to college. But I would be happy to meet. Our whole team would be happy to meet. And they know that going forward. But we also need to be respectful of each other's views. And we'll find a solution to this.
Virginia Heppner is president and CEO of the Woodruff Arts Center, the parent organization of the Atlanta Symphony Orchestra. Ms. Heppner, thanks so much for giving us this time, and we'll check back with you.
Thank you, Dennis.